for far too long. The spirit song was hardly ever heard, nor the sound of the harp in the psalmist's hand seldom has been stirred. But now there's a sound in the heavenlies, calling for the song of the Lord. The Spirit of the living God is now being restored, 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 restored. Jerusalem, O Zion, in Babylon, there we sat down. We wept remembering Zion. On the willows there we hang our lyres, sing us a song of Zion. Oh, but how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget Jerusalem, may my right hand forget to play harp, forget to play harp. Jerusalem, you are my highest joy. שערים ראשכם ויבוא מלך הכבוד, זהו שערים ראשכם ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד, אדוני צבאות? מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד, ישוע המשיח? Gates, and let the king come in, and let the king come in. Lift up your heads, O everlasting gates, and let the king come in, and let the king come in. Who is this, this glorious king? He is the Lord of the armies. Who is this, this glorious king? Yeshua HaMashiach. Zehu she'arim ra'ashachem ve'yavo melech hakavod. Zehu she'arim ra'ashachem ve'yavo melech hakavod. מלך הכבוד, אדוני צבאות. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? ישוע
Well, thank you so much for coming, for leaving your nice, comfortable houses on this Monday night. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans, the epistle to the believers in Rome. And I want to start with two or three verses from there. Romans 11:33. And I'm coming from Israel. It's not a secret. You know it already, right? And me and Gabi are married for the last 27 years. Hopefully for another 27 years, at least. We have together four kids. Three girls. Little ladies. 26, 24, 22, and a son of old age. Michael, or Michael, which is here with us somewhere, he's churched out. That's why I don't see him anymore here. Can you imagine? He hears me every evening, again and again. Okay, guys. And all about what we do in Israel and all about us, if you want more, to know more, we have a table there. That's enough. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Why did I pick it up? Because it's very hard to get to know God's mind, right? And God chose to speak through a certain entity, certain people. You know, out of all the nations on the globe, he chose the people of Israel. Now, I did not choose whom to be born to, right? Or which nations to belong to. And none of you chose, right? To be a Gentile or to be a Jew or to whatever, yeah? To be Indian, to be black, to be white, okay? None of us chose. We are all handpicked, I call it, by the Almighty. But what can I do? He chose one nation to reveal himself through this nation to all the entire world, yeah? And I happen to be part of this nation. And by the way, at the end of those three evenings, if you will continue after this evening, if you're not too shocked, yeah? If you'll continue at the end of those three evenings, you will understand that it's not only me who belong now to this nation, but each and every one who gave his life truly to the God of Israel. You cannot claim faith in the God of Israel and without be actually belonging to his people. How? We will find out later on, okay? I came to know the Lord about 20... When was it, Gabi? 28? 5, 8 years ago, where are you? Yeah? Sometimes between 81, 83, okay, that's just shortly after I was released from the Israeli army, which we each of us need to do, living in Israel. And I remember the very big shock that I had reading the New Testament writings, scriptures, for the first time in my life. No, I was about 21 years old, not a child anymore. Maybe Americans are still children, you know, I mean it, because they don't pass what every Israeli passes between the age 18 and 21. We are quite grown up at the age 21, seeing some dead people, seeing our friends dead, you know, passing some, you know, stations in life that usual American or others do not pass through. So I was 21 years old, and I was grown as a Jew all my life. I am still a Jew, by the way, for those who have any doubt about it, yeah? People ask me, when was it that you were converted to Christianity? And I look at them, I say, I never did. Then I point at them laughingly, and I say, it's quite the opposite. You were converted to my faith. Well, the biggest shock I got when I read for the first time in my life, the New Testament, this accursed book, you know, that all my ancestors just spit on it, you know. I will never forget it. Part of my process of, you know, becoming a believer in Yeshua Jesus, okay? Yeshua, salvation in Hebrew, Jesus. This is the name that his mother used, okay, back then. So I will never forget. I'm reading for the first time the New Testament, and I'm a Jew. I'm not Protestant, I'm not a Catholic, I'm not Greek Orthodox, and I don't belong to, you know, the Southern Baptist Church, Middle Baptist, Northern Baptist Church, Pentecostal Church, name it, don't claim it, yeah? I mean, I didn't know anything about this terminology, and I just read it plain. No preconceived ideas, no indoctrination, nothing. And my eyes almost fell. I mean, I thought, what? No, the one who gave me this New Testament probably was confused. This is not the real New Testament. No. Why? Because number one, if this is the real New Testament, why the Jewish people don't accept it? It's so Jewish. And this Jesus is so Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, teacher. How come my rabbis don't accept him? And I went to them, by the way, to ask this question. One almost rolled me down through the steps, you know, being mad at me. Okay? But this was the little shock. The biggest shock was, where is Christianity? Somebody has magnifying glass? Where is Sunday worship? Where is Christmas? Where is Easter? No. This is not the New Testament. Somebody just, you know, pulled my legs. Okay, come on, Yuval. Take it. Give me now the real New Testament. With Mother Mary in it, you know, with candles and bowing down in front of statues, with saying this day, saying that day, Christmas, Sunday. Show me the real New Testament. There is none. Since then, I believe with all of my heart, I was called. Somebody talked about bridge. Where are you, sweet sister? Here. Maybe this is it. Maybe. I was called to bridge, to be a bridge between the two religion systems which went so far from the truth, both Judaism and Christianity. Okay? Or should I say so-called Christianity? Because you cannot be a Christian without knowing the true Messiah of Israel. Yeah. So, let's start, shall we? This was just an introduction. I promise I will not do it tomorrow. Unless I will have an all new crowd. Then I will do it again. Okay, the key to unlocking, do we have it here? Yeah. Our inheritance. Beloved, it's all, as you will see later on, it's all a matter of inheritance. You know, your sons, your children will inherit you, right? One day. If you are normal parents, You will live for them and not to the church or to the synagogue. You will live all that you acquire through life. That's exactly what God wants, not to live, not that he will die one day, yeah? But he is eager for us to come to our inheritance, doesn't he? He say, actually, Paul says that we are the heirs of God. Everything, look at the skies, look everywhere. It's ours. Maybe not yet. Okay, but a glimpse of here and there we have. But friends, it's all ours. But what is really our inheritance, beloved? What are our roots, actually? I believe with all of my heart that Christianity is where she is today. And when I say Christianity, I'm not speaking about, what is the name of this one? Southwood Church or the Baptist Church there. Friends, I'm talking in general terms because I don't know you. I don't know the churches you go to. And for sure, I'm not God to judge your heart, right? So I'm not talking about your relationship with God, with Christ, with Messiah, etc., etc. I'm talking about the framework within or in which you are worshiping this God that you believe in. You are with me? Or in other words, I am talking about the clothing, your clothing. Okay? About the jeans and the shirts that you put. And clothes have great importance, right? You wouldn't want me to come to you nude, right? Without clothes. You would think I'm crazy. We do need clothes, right? So it is in the spiritual realm. We are functioning, we are operating within a culture, within a calling, within clothes, yeah? So, one of the reasons Christianity left the way, the narrow way, in my humble opinion, is being disconnected from her roots. Show me one tree or one plant which can survive without its roots. Does it exist? So why do you think if in the natural it cannot exist, in the spiritual it can exist? One of the things that I will teach you during those three evenings is that in Hebraic mindset, and we are going to deal with the contrast, big contrast between Hebraic and Greek mindsets, but one of the main things in Hebraic mindset is that the natural speaks about the spiritual, and there is no actually artificial separation between the two. After all, it's not God who created spiritual Rami, and the devil created the flesh of Rami, right? Or another entity created a soul. Ridiculous. God created us as a triune, body, soul, spirit. Do you believe it? After his own image, right? In his own likeness. So why do we think that nature cannot speak about God? All the Bible is like this, you know. The heavens declare your glory. Right? And the heavens, you know, the stars, including our star, planet Earth, are very much material, right? They are not spirit. We are touching something when we stand here, right? So the natural speaks of the spiritual. Get it very clearly, okay, in your mind. So let's start. Yeah, the Lord is Yeshua is near. We will deal with all those things, okay? By the way, special preparation required. I come here to the States and other places twice a year, usually, okay? To teach, to preach, you know, speak. And before each visit, I ask God to show me the theme that he wants me to speak of, actually, the theme that he wants his people here in the States to hear, okay? What do your people need to hear this time? Guess what was the word for this visit? What was the theme that he gave me for this visit? Let my people know I'm near. Let them prepare themselves. Amen. Prepare. Prepare. Guess what? Just today, you know, by the way, those three sessions that I will give you in the next three nights, I didn't give it for a long time, yeah? So I needed to read it myself before I came, yeah? And I was amazed. Special preparation required? Of course. And they have much to do with knowing who you are, knowing what are your roots. Because right now, most of you are disconnected to the roots. And I'm not blaming you. I'm your servant. I'm not looking down at you. Okay? You will get to know me more and more and see my heart. I'm not, even when I'm shouting, it's just because I'm excited. It's not against you. Okay? So special preparation required? Oh, yeah. Any connection to the expression of our faith? Oh, yeah. Any connection to events in the Middle East? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Roots. Why roots? You know, we can read, you know. This is very basic. So I'm building a common ground with you tonight, okay? Sounds good? I know that some of you can teach me those things, okay? I'm just building a common ground on which we will continue tonight and in the next two nights, okay, two evenings. Why do we need roots? Of course, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Remember in Yeshua's parable, okay, and teachings? Anything without root will die. Very easy, very simple. Yet he has no root in himself but endures only for a while. Remember the parable of the sower, right? Matthew 13. So it's just, again, I'm building a common ground, okay, to show you that what I'm blah, blah, blahing is actually based on the word that you believe with all of your heart is God's word, okay? Romans 11. You, being a wild olive tree, speaks to you, Gentiles, the believers, yeah? Became a partaker of the root. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. Again, all that I want you to see is that we need roots. Okay? Let's continue. A question. Where do we find the roots of our faith in Messiah Yeshua? Come on, you know it. In Jewish faith, good, what? Okay. Of course, the answer, oh, come on, why are you? The Bible! Of course, our roots are in the Bible. Soon you will see the Bible, again, is not disconnected from a certain culture, a certain mindset, certain people. Okay? In the Bible, of course. Now, beloved, I will show you, I'm going to show you in the next few slides, why it's important to know our roots. The body of Messiah today, few characteristics. I'm talking about the church. The Jewish people do not believe in Messiah, as you know, right? They believe in the coming of Messiah, but they don't believe Messiah came already. Are you following? So what, how the body of Messiah today looks like? Some characteristics. The majority, non-Jews, right? See Jewish believers with great astonishment. Wow, look at Jews standing in front of us. Wow, a complete Jew or a Christian Jew. Hallelujah. God, you're great. Soon we will see that it was quite opposite in the first century, okay? But we are dealing with the body today, right? Expression of faith. Sunday meetings. Celebration of non-biblical feasts. And I'm very gentle in my wording. I do challenge every one of you to Google. Today, Google is in. And you Google Christmas origins. 1,000 articles. I don't say that all the articles will be actually historically accurate, yeah? But you can Google almost everything. So non-biblical, we'll call them, okay? Let's continue. Mixed, confused feelings, ideas about Jews, Judaism, the land of Israel, and the Middle East. Would you agree with this statement? You know, we have the expression, two Jews, three opinions. two Jewish tour guides like Rami, 561 and a half opinions. But guess what? This is very true concerning this. If you ask two Christians, what do you think about Israel, Jews? They will have a variety of, you know, oh, God rejected them. Oh, they're still God's people, you know, all of this. Okay? So I think you would agree with me, right? We are building a common ground. Okay, let's continue. Now, after we saw some characteristics of the body today, let's see some of the characteristics, which, by the way, all based on the Bible. You will see book, chapter, and verse, right? First century, Yeshua's time, body, immediately or following his ascension to sit at the right-hand side of the Father. Totally Jewish. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. The book of Acts, the first 10 chapters, there are some Samaritans, there are some, yeah? But the real big conversion that all of us know is Cornelius' conversion, Acts chapter 10. But not many of us know that Acts chapter 10 does not happen in Acts chapter 10. Which means only a few chapters. What separates between chapter 1 of Acts and chapter 10 is about 25 to 40 years. Are you with me? Which means still about, let's be 25 years. Yeah, let's be minimalist now, okay? My friends, according to scholars, 25 AD, or after Yeshua, this event, which is documented for us, recorded in Acts 10, takes place. Are you with me? Which means till Cornelius and his household are converted not to Christianity, because we just say it's a Jewish church, right? Till he converts the entire body of Messiah, and by the way, there are not three here, four there. Tens and tens of thousands only in Jerusalem and Judea. Read your Bible, Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 21. Keep it in mind. Tens and tens of thousands, not all over Israel, but only in Judea. Those are facts, beloved. Biblical facts. Jewish majority until about 70, you know, until the destruction of the temple, okay? And you have the references. Now, you remember how Gentile believers see in excitement, and some without any excitement at all, you know, some anti-Semitists, you know. Beloved, they see, wow, a Jew speaks to us. A Jew was converted to us. Well, exactly the opposite in the first century. You have the references. You remember how the Jews who came with Peter to Caesarea reacted when they saw the Holy Spirit descending on those Gentiles? What? Like, God, are you out of your mind? Don't you know that? Put your glasses on. Those are Gentiles, uncircumcised. They don't belong to us. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. What? Gentiles coming to faith? Oh, help my daughter, help my daughter. She's demon-possessed. Yeshua walks. Remember this story? Please. And the disciples are so fed up. Shut her mouth up, please. Do whatever she wants. She's a bother. Paraphrased by me, of course, yeah? Beloved, Yeshua turns and says, it's not good to give the bread of the sons to the least of the dogs. I quoted the Messiah now. Because he expressed, he did not have anything against Gentiles. He expressed them Jewish mindset. Why Peter, being in a trance on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner in Jaffa, why do you think the sheet tied in its four corners contained egg and bacon, shrimps, you know, name it, and kosher foods? Why? Because the ones who knocked on the door of Simon the Tanner were dogs, snakes, and egg and bacon. How many times it was lowered down and taken up without him slaughtering and eating? It was a dream. It was a trance, yeah? Three times. How many Gentiles are knocking at the door? Three. Check me on those things. Beloved, the Jewish believers could not understand how come those Gentiles are included now. How come they are converted by the Holy Spirit to our Jewish faith? Are you following? Let's continue. Expression of faith. Continued steadfastly in the apostles. I'm talking about the first century. Okay? Fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. All are Jewish concepts, beloved. There is not even one so-called Christian concept. You know? Prayer, breaking bread together. The church did not invent the Lord's Supper. Okay, beloved, the Lord's Supper is taken from the Jewish, very Jewish Passover Eve. Okay? And it was not disconnected from the love feast. Read in the New Testament. It was a part of love feast. It wasn't just two elements. It was food, you know, rice, potatoes, whatever they had. Celebration, happy. And they just dedicated two elements out of all this, the goodies on their table, to remember Yeshua's blood and Yeshua's body. Let's continue. Okay, all that they did based on what they saw and heard from the king of the Jews, right? You agree with me? I mean, it was 2,000 years did not separate between them. Only a few days, right? Let's continue. What did they keep, the first believers in the first century? They kept God's commandments with all their heart, soul, and mind. Again, taking, you know, the example of their Messiah. Messiah says, keep, if you love me, you keep what? My commandments. Did he change any commandment? No. So they kept it. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. You remember Peter's reaction when the sheet was lowered down? Oh no, I never touched these things. Right? Remember? Now remember, it's 25 years after the resurrection. Do you think Peter was stupid or immature? He is one of the pillars of the faith. He's one of the leaders of those tens and tens and tens of thousands of believers. He was not immature. He simply did not understand Yeshua to do away with it, with those commandments. Okay? So here, they follow the example of their master, the Sabbath, the feast, yeah? In comparison to the non-biblical feast, right? You remember where we are? We are comparing between the body in the first century